Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The disciples were afraid. John tells us that they had locked the doors to their room for fear of the Jews. If a disciple is not above his master, as Jesus had told them just but a few days before, how much more could they expect to be marked for death? Death is a scary thing. As much as we might want to put on a show of brave Christian resignation, I think we all fear death to some degree. The kind of death that they supposed was coming their way was not like the idyllic scene of lying in a bed surrounded by loved ones. John, at least, had seen the result of the torture Jesus received at the hands of the Romans. Of the 11, he alone witnessed the crucifixion. Surely they knew through him what they might be facing. I have read enough of the accounts of the martyrs that I do not spend any time praying that I would die like they did. I don't mean it in terms of the faith that they possessed, but in terms of the manner in which they died. Stephen, the proto-martyr of the book of Acts, died by stoning. James was beheaded by King Herod. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Bartholomew was skinned alive. Later martyrs of the church included a favorite of our Lutheran fathers, St. Lawrence, who was burned alive on a gridiron. The ancient world did not have any protections against cruel and unusual punishment. But here's the other interesting thing that we need to remember from the context of John 20, which would include the material that we have in the other Gospels. Our text opened by telling us that the initial encounter between Jesus and the 10, so we have to subtract Judas because he's already dead, and we have to subtract Thomas because we know that he's gone. That leaves us with 10. I can do some math. The part with Thomas happens the next Sunday. So we actually have two separate days in our gospel reading as recorded. But consider everything that has happened up to this point. Before Jesus actually shows up in the locked upper room on Easter evening, we know that the 10 had already had the promise from Jesus' own mouth that he would die, but that he would also be raised again on the third day. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us that Jesus said this to them plainly at least three times in the lead up to Palm Sunday. Besides those resurrection predictions, John tells us that Mary Magdalene went and told Peter and John that the stone had been taken away from the tomb and the Lord's body was not to be found anywhere. So Peter and John ran to the tomb to check things out for themselves. They saw the linen burial shroud unoccupied and the face cloth folded up neatly by itself. After they went back to where they were staying to lock the doors, Jesus appeared to Mary. He told her to go and tell the disciples what she had seen. The women who went to anoint his body for burial had also seen angels at the tomb who had told him, "He is not here, he is risen." Jesus also, before John 20:19 picks up, had appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They had heard the report of the women of Jesus' resurrection. So my point here is that by the time our text starts in John 20, verse 19, word had already begun to spread that Jesus, who had died, was now alive again and had been seen by some of his followers. And here's the tricky part. The Jews aren't the only thing that the disciples feared that night. Listen to what St. Luke adds to this story. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. They were definitely afraid at first of Jesus when he appeared to them. Consider that for just a moment. They were actually afraid of Jesus when they saw him. Well, what would it mean that Jesus returned as a spirit? And why would that frighten them? Well, let me suggest just a few possibilities to you. First, consider everything that had happened up to that point. Peter had denied knowing Jesus not once, not twice, but three times, despite his bold declarations that he would rather die than do such a thing. But when the moment came, he was scared by the fact that a little servant girl recognized him as maybe being one of Jesus' disciples. All of them had fled from him at the Garden of Gethsemane when the mob came to arrest the Lord. At the present moment, they were behind locked doors, afraid of the Jews, despite the fact that they had seen Jesus not only miraculously escape other plots to kill him in the previous years, but that they had also seen all the other miracles that he'd done, including raising not one, not two, but three individuals from the dead, including Lazarus the week before, who had been in the tomb for 4 days. If Jesus was back as a spirit, it's worth considering, at least in their mind, I think, that he might be back in wrath. Not unlike Samuel, summoned by King Saul and the witch at Endor in the Old Testament. Might he not, as a spirit, be seeking revenge for their faithlessness? Now, while that's probably the most likely source of their fear of Jesus, I do want to posit a more theological reason why they might be afraid of a Jesus who is not bodily raised from the dead. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we of all people are most to be pitied." If Jesus isn't raised from the dead, not only is all of this talk of forgiveness of sins that we do here a waste of time, but you're actually going to die for them without any hope of life from that death. If Jesus isn't raised, then anything really does go, because there is no real difference between right and wrong. Our anything goes, do whatever makes you feel good and right culture has it correct, because tomorrow we die. Next Sunday, if you want to sleep late and go to brunch for mimosas, you'd better do it. If Jesus isn't raised. This is the fear that can actually keep you up at night. What if all this Jesus being raised from the dead stuff isn't real? Well, it means that you're either on the wrong side of some capricious God who would rather toy around with you and demand your blood for not giving him the worship that he wants, or, and this may even be worse, that the evolutionists are actually right and all of this is just some cosmic accident, and one day you'll wink out of existence and be forgotten within a generation. But Paul goes on. "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. St. Paul, who saw him with his own eyes, goes on to say, "For as by man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Yes, people loved by God, Christ is risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is raised as a man too, and that is, he was raised in his body, and that's important. And I think it's actually the point of our story from John chapter 20. Notice the cure for the disciples' fears. Jesus not only proclaims that he is at peace with the disciples, which means that God is also at peace with him because Jesus is God. But what does he do as he proclaims this peace? He shows them his hands and his side. Peace between God and man, foretold by Isaiah and sung by the Christmas angels, is grounded in the risen body of Jesus, but specifically in the crucified and risen body of Jesus. Because what did they see in his hands and his side? What did Thomas demand to see in Jesus' hands and side? All of them needed to see the nail marks and the spear as it had pierced his side. They needed to know that he had died in his body, the body that was born of Mary, to pay the price for sin and to satisfy the wrath of God. Then, says St. John, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Dear Christian friends, regardless of what the source of the disciples' fear actually was, whether they feared death, whether they feared the retribution of God, whether they feared the theological consequences of a dead Christ, or whether the obstinacy of unbelief kept them in fear, the only relief for that fear is the resurrection of the crucified Jesus. Or better yet, contact with the crucified and risen Jesus. People loved by God, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of suffering? Or are you afraid of the suffering of your children? Do you fear the creeping decline that comes along with an aging body and mind? Are you afraid of your past sins? And what would happen if others found out about them? Or worse, what does God actually think about them? Do you fear the diagnosis of a wild-type glioblastoma that suddenly destroys your brain from the inside within the span of just a few months? Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And that's not just a fun thing to say during Easter, although it is. It is also a theological declaration that dispels the fear that lurks in the darkest corner of our hearts and of our minds. For if the death and resurrection of Jesus is the defining proof of God's love towards us, as the scriptures teach, then Jesus coming to us in his crucified and risen body is his perfect love towards us that casts out fear. The same John who recorded these events later wrote in his first epistle, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." This is why, dear saints, we gather around not just the voice of Jesus who preaches peace to us, but also around his crucified and risen body, which is given for you with his blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. The sacrament of the altar is not just an add-on to the service. It is the beating heart of the church's life together. For here,
the crucified and risen Jesus comes to us to put our fears to flight and to make us glad in Him. He invites us to reach out our hands and to touch His nail-marked, His spear-marked flesh, and not to disbelieve, but to believe. Jesus says of us who did not see those events, blessed are you who believe even though you have not seen. Jesus looks over the head of the disciples and He sees us sitting here in His church today, hearing His word and getting ready to contact His risen body, which is given and shed for you. He does this to dispel all fear of sin and doubt and death that lurks in your heart and your mind. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.